The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a stellar lineup today. Casey Jacobson is going to be with us from Fox. Casey did the Arizona-UCLA game the other night in Las Vegas, the championship game. Casey brings it every time on this show. So we'll have Casey breaking down U of A's chances, Tommy Lloyd's chances. I mean, I'd love to see U of A against Gonzaga in the national title game as we get going with our coverage of March Madness. Casey Jacobson will be with us. Peter King will get on board today. Peter was on the Today Show this morning. Nice of him to make some time to be with us. Some of you are sick of Tom Brady. Some of you are wondering about Kyler Murray versus the Cardinals. Some of you are wondering about the future of Chandler Jones and Christian Kirk here in Arizona. I would say doubtful on both those fronts. The Cardinals did make a move today. We'll get to that momentarily. So Casey Jacobson at 10:20, and then Peter King will be with us. So great lineup today. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union across the valley. We appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. The NCAA tournament is here. Jordan Spurgeon from our team will be out in San Diego with the U of A starting on Friday for their first round matchup. Las Vegas was great. I'm refreshed and come back from that. I was a complete dope yesterday. I went out to the track to be with Devin Henry. NASCAR was in town. I forgot my earplugs. Really bad move. Really bad move when you go out to a racetrack, a NASCAR race, and you forget earplugs. I was that guy. I don't like being that guy. Otherwise, it's a great weekend. You know, there was so much going on. I found myself Saturday night glued to UCLA against Arizona. That felt like a Final Four game. I was into the Suns for a bit last night, just a bit. They took apart the Lakers. The Tom Brady story happened. And you know, all in all, it was a whole lot of stuff. So let's just get into the tournament. And I really believe that whether Kreisa is able to play or not, if you're following the tournament, if you're just starting to jump on board, U of A's star guard, point guard, rolled his ankle badly. Yesterday, Tommy Lloyd said he expects him to be able to play. Will that be a factor? Will that be an issue? I look at the bracket that they're in the South region, and outside of Tennessee and Illinois, it's a pretty clear path. It is. We could sit here and chop up games all day long, but it really should be the Arizona Wildcats getting to New Orleans to play in the national title game. We'll talk with Casey Jacobson in a few minutes about it. Ben Mathurin is a future NBA star. Coloco, a future NBA player, I don't know about star, but, you know, outside of, and this has been ongoing all season long, that U of A can't shoot the three very well. If Terry is back behind the line, teams are going to say, go ahead, knock yourself out. If Kreisa is okay and he can hit some threes, they're going to pull them out. They're going to pull defenders out, and then you have Coloco down low. They're a fun team to watch. They play basketball the right way. I think UCLA is a fun team to watch. I don't know as a four seed if they have enough to get all the way. They've got a loaded bracket that they're in, loaded up bracket, where I think U of A's bracket, not so loaded. So we'll talk with Casey Jacobson about that in a few minutes. Tom Brady coming back as unfinished business was the overarching headline yesterday evening, and it was one of those where I had to actually show my wife on social. So this just happened. Really? And I'm thinking of the numbers of people in our industry that are just kicking back with brackets on a Sunday night, and all of a sudden this bombshell drops in, and they've got to scramble, and they're not really prepared for it, and they have to throw their shows up in the air, because when it's Tom Brady coming back for another year, it's good for business. If you're one of those that's sick of Tom Brady, like I think from a distance, it's fine. I think if I had to be in Tampa or New England for all those years, the winning part of it would be fine. It's all the stuff around it. It's pretty funny hearing fans say, yeah, Tom got tired of having his wife say, let's go to Target and Whole Foods. That was funny. You know, the kids were driving Tom crazy. And so after 40 days, he says, enough of this, I'm in. And so now he's back on board. The Cardinals, you know, you've got Christian Kirk, and you've got Chandler Jones, and you have Zach Ertz, and you have James Conner. Those have been the players that we've been talking about, and what will their futures hold? what will they look like, and all of that. And as I'm going through where the Cardinals are to this morning, so they've come to terms with James Conner this morning. So James Conner will be back. Probably means that Chase Edmonds will be leaving and going another direction. Probably means that. And it means that Christian Kirk, the way it looks today, is going to leave and go another direction. Probably means Chandler Jones going to leave and go another direction. I did like the re-signing of Zach Ertz. That was smart. But it's pretty clear that on the defensive front, the Cardinals have to address things. Can't just go into next season without having bolster up the defensive line. That can't happen. If Christian Kirk leaves and all of a sudden, how high up do you go after a wide receiver? And the Cardinals, you could go through the players that they've missed on. A guy like Christian Kirk, to me, doesn't have many drops, sticks around, hometown kid. It's a blow if he does leave, but I don't blame him. You know, players get to a point where they can go out and choose their place. And I have nothing against Christian Kirk. If he can go find more money elsewhere, it feels like he's been in a shadow here or just doesn't really like the direction. If you're a star receiver and you believe in your quarterback 100%, you'd probably say, you know what, I want to be here. But if he wants to go to New York City, if he wants to go to Carolina, if he wants to go to Jacksonville, if he can find much more money, then why would you not do that if you're Christian Kirk? Fandom can only go so far. It comes down to business. And so that's where we are with the way it looks like. I believe Chandler Jones will leave. I don't think there's any state secret. Denver seems like the most likely destination. And so we have to sit here and go through the Kyler stuff. I'm going to talk to Peter King in depth about Kyler versus the Cardinals and what it means to him. That's all straight ahead, too. The Suns last night beat up on the Lakers. It's, you know, mid-March. I keep underselling these victories. It's fine for fans. Yeah, it's always nice to beat LA. Get back to me when it becomes a playoff series. Get back to me when it becomes something of more importance than just, like the Lakers gave up, what was it, 48 in the first quarter last night? I was running around listening to Al do the game, and it was, are the Lakers going to play any defense? Any at all? The Suns hit six of their first 9 3-pointers. This wasn't a contest last night. And then, yes, we were out at the track yesterday, sold out, a couple hundred thousand fans doing their thing. And Devin put up some great content. You can check it out over on the website at sports360az.com. And that is that. Up next, Casey Jacobson on U of A and their chances. Then later, Peter King. On a Monday, I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's turn our attention now to March Madness and the University of Arizona in particular. Casey Jacobson joins us with Fox. He was there for the Pac-12 title game and saw what was a terrific game. It felt like a national title game, and yet we still have 3 weeks to go. It is good to see you as always, Casey. How are things as we get ready for March Madness?
Brad, this is my favorite time of year. Thanks for having me on. I've been working as a broadcaster for 8 years, and being able to call that final was probably the most fun time I've had in my career. It was the two best teams in the Pac-12. It was the matchup that a lot of casual basketball fans wanted to see, the rubber match between those two teams. Mm-hmm. They're the best offense and defensive teams in the Pac and amongst the country. And as a broadcaster, sometimes you hype a matchup and then oftentimes it doesn't really live up to it. But that one certainly did. The atmosphere was awesome. It was nearly packed in there. And remember, this is the first time that T-Mobile Arena had been packed in 3 years. So it really felt like how it was supposed to feel. And you mentioned it. I mean, it felt like a Final Four national championship type of atmosphere. And Arizona, to me, is a step above. I mean, they are a legit national title contender. And UCLA is a Final Four contender. I'm not sure I could see them winning like a national championship. I'm not sure if they have an extra gear that some of the other teams do. Because there's a lot of teams in the country. And when I say a lot, I say like maybe 15 to 20 teams that I could see getting to a Final Four. But there's only a small handful of teams that I can actually see making that last step and cutting down nets. And Arizona is certainly one.
Okay, so could we see UCLA and Arizona again? Could we see a fourth meeting? Are you anticipating these two could potentially meet again?
Well, if they do, they would have to be in the national championship game. And that would be a dream come true for Pac-12 fans, certainly. But it's not something that I anticipate. I'm not choosing UCLA to play in the national championship. I'm not choosing them to make a Final Four in my own personal bracket. That would be an emotional pick, right? I try my best to take emotions out of it when I'm looking at matchups and such. It's really hard to do, as you know, Brad. There are a few teams that are coaches that you get to know over the course of your career that you really want to see at that next stage. And so I'm not going to lie, there are a few times like that. But when it comes to making my Final Four picks, I really try to look at the bracket and figure out who I think has a better chance of advancing there.
Right.
And you know, if you want to talk about Arizona's bracket right now, I really like it. I like their path. That's not to say it's an easy one, but I do think that they have the easiest 8-9 game of all of the one seeds. I always look for the one seeds. I look at that 8-9 game because if you remember, Brad, in my career, I made two. I played in three NCAA tournaments, but twice at Stanford, we were a number one seed. And one of those we lost in the second round in that 8-9 game to North Carolina. You know, that 8-9 game, you're always going to find a really good power conference team that maybe underachieved a little bit, but has certainly the players to win a game like that. And I look at Arizona's matchup of either Seton Hall or TCU, and I think they're significantly better than both of those teams. Hmm. And then the other two teams, if everything goes like according to plan, the bigger seeds that Arizona's going to have to worry about, two of them they've already played, which I think is actually helpful. So the teams I'm talking about are Illinois and Tennessee, who are both playing good basketball. But here's why I think it's important, Brad, and this is my own theory, so shoot me down if you disagree. The one thing that Arizona is fans are probably worried about is the lack of experience. We have not seen these Arizona players on this big stage before. Right. Don't you think it's beneficial to a team that lacks experience to possibly play against teams that they've already played this year? Sure. I think it would help them. It would take some of the pressure off. Hey, man, we already know this team. We know we can beat them, or we know we can compete with them. And I think that would be really beneficial for a young team on this stage.
No, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think it's really smart. Casey Jacobson with us for a few minutes from Fox as we talk about U of A and the NCAA tournament. How much of Tommy Lloyd do you see coming from Gonzaga to U of A and Mark Few coming from Gonzaga to U of A, Casey? Because the job that Tommy has done here in year number one has been simply amazing to me. And there's some that say, well, yeah, it's some of Sean's kids. And I don't buy into that entirely. This is Tommy saying, okay, I've been sitting here on the bench next to Mark Few for all these years. How much Gonzaga do you see in U of A?
A ton. At the beginning of this year, people were calling them Gonzaga Junior. At least some of my friends were like, this Arizona team's like Gonzaga Light or Gonzaga Junior. There's nothing junior about this team, though, right? That was early on in the year when we didn't really know how good Arizona was going to be. But you ask the question, like, schematically, they run the same kind of stuff. So They're very, very similar. They run continuity ball screen offense, but it's at the pace of Gonzaga, and it's elite. One of the things that is similar, and I tried to point it out on the broadcast on Saturday, is in order to have an offense that is humming like Gonzaga and Arizona's are this season, you have to have big men that can pass. If you look at, you know, in the past of Mark Few and Tommy Lloyd's teams at Gonzaga, what did those teams have in common? They had really good power forwards that were versatile. Think Domantas Sabonis. Think Kelly Olynyk. Think Rui Hachimura. Think Drew Timmy right now. All of those guys play the four spot, and you can run your offense through them, meaning like it's not a point guard-dependent system. You pass the ball or you reverse it from one side to the other, but now you have a big man that can go into dribble handoffs or can pass and go into ball screen, but he's a ball handler. He's a ball mover. The ball doesn't stop with him. And that's Azulis Tubelis. Yep. Like I think Azulis Tubelis, I would not argue, is the best player. Ben Mathurin is the best player. And I would even argue that Christian Coloco might be the second best player. But the guy that makes this offense kind of really dangerous to me is Azulis Tubelis, because he can handle it, he can score it, and he can put it on the deck. He's not a great three-point shooter. It's the one thing that he kind of really hasn't improved in his 2 years so far in Tucson. But he's a really important cog to the wheel in that regard.
Can they win if Kreese is not at 100%?
Yes, they can. It's a good question. It's the question that I answered on our pregame show right before tip-off on Saturday. And so I'll share that with my opinion with you right now, Brad. This Arizona team is not a point guard dependent team. Okay. So they don't rely. Oh, for example, like UCLA is more of a point guard dependent team. They need Tiger Campbell to orchestrate a lot of stuff. They need Tiger Campbell to get Johnny Juzang and Jaime Jaquez in their spots and get them the ball. This Arizona team is not like that. Okay. They lead the country in assists for a reason. It's not just because Kirk Risa, it's because Dalen Terry can handle it. Azulis Tubelis can handle it. Justin Kyer, Pella Larson. So I'm not going to argue that they are a better team without Kirk Risa. That would be silly. But what I am here to argue is that they absolutely can still achieve all their goals, even if Kirk Risa doesn't play a single game in the NCAA tournament. Justin Kyer, he did not play a good game in the championship game against UCLA, but it was because of foul trouble, not because he underperformed. He just, he was a little bit too physical. But you remember the night before against Colorado, he had 13 points and 5 assists and did his job. Or I think it was 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. But he did his job. He can make threes. The two weaknesses, Brad, the only two things I'm worried about with this Arizona team in a tournament, I haven't seen him play on the national stage. It's something. It doesn't mean that it's a fatal flaw. It's just something. They don't have that experience to draw back on in the tournament. And two, they're not that good of a three-point shooting team. Right. So that's where Kirk Risa is valuable. That kid can shoot the three, man. He can shoot it. And so Ben Mathurin is going to need to hit some threes. Dalen Terry, they're going to back off him. There are teams that are going to say, hey, Dalen, you can shoot all you want. And he needs to hit. So those are the two areas that I'm a little bit worried about. We'll see how it plays out.
Last question before I get you out of here, and I appreciate all your time. Casey Jacobson with Fox. So we talk about U of A in the tournament. The team across from them, you're like, that team could take down U of A. Is there a handful? Are there two teams, 10 teams? You know, give me a feel as the rest of the tournament versus U of A, because I look at them and say they should be in New Orleans. They really should be.
Well, hey, there's plenty of teams that can take down Arizona. I don't need to remind you or your audience, Brad, this is a one-and-done field. Yeah. If Arizona has one bad game against a quality team, they will be sent home. This team did lose 3 games. Now, it is also important to remember that all 3 games that Arizona lost this year were on the road, right? And these are all neutral court environments, so that certainly is why I am going to pick them to get to the Final Four.
Let me jump in here, because and I know those games will be packed with U of A fans. It'll be a home game on the road. No question about it.
Well, but don't sell like a team like Tennessee's fan base short. They're going to travel from Knoxville. They're going to travel as well. It'll be interesting. And Arizona is going to be in the South region. They're not going to be playing, in San Francisco for a chance to go to the national championship. But like Tennessee, these two teams already played, right? Arizona already played Tennessee in Knoxville. They lost. Tennessee got out to an 18-2 lead, and Arizona was playing catch up the rest of the time. Now, this Tennessee team is playing really, really well. They just won the SEC championship tournament. So it's not the same team that Arizona lost to. But you could argue that Arizona isn't the same team either as they were in December. So, but Tennessee is a team to me that could definitely beat them. On the bottom side of the bracket, like, so to get to a national title game, they might have to play either a Kansas or an Auburn. Those are the top two seeds. I'm choosing Auburn to make the Final Four out of that region. I really like this Auburn team. And I think an Auburn-Arizona matchup would be fantastic. Both of them play really up-tempo, and they're super athletic teams. Walker Kessler is Auburn's kind of Christian Coloco, if you want to call him that. A really good rim protector, a guy that had a triple-double this year with blocks and points and rebounds. So that to me is I almost would say that an Arizona-Auburn matchup would be a coin flip to me. I don't know who would win that game, but I want to see it. Yeah. But But before I go over him, last year in the NCAA tournament, I and we as a casual basketball fan wanted to see Baylor and Gonzaga play last year. They were the two best teams in the country. We wanted to see them play, and it happened, which isn't always the case. You don't always get the matchup you want. Here's the matchup that everybody wants: Arizona against Gonzaga.
Yeah,
they're the two best teams, and you and I both know, Brad, that Tommy Lloyd and Mark Few will never play against each other unless it's a Elite Eight, Final Four, or a national title game. I want to see it happen. I think it would be fantastic for a lot of reasons. The first being that we haven't had a Western champion since 1997. That would be the first reason. But two, I just think it'd be fascinating to watch, you know, the coach go against his predecessor in what would be just an awesome matchup to watch.
Yeah, and on the floor, there'd be a lot of really interesting matchups too, just, you know, individual
battles.
And good stuff. As always, stay safe. Thanks for the time, Casey.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good one.
There's Casey Jacobson with Fox, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, Peter King, football morning in America for a few minutes. The Tom Brady news, where were you when it happened, and did you believe it at first?
Well, I was in my house in Brooklyn, and I was very surprised. Not surprised that he would do it, but surprised that it would happen at 7:30 on a Sunday night when my column was finished. And I was getting ready to watch 60 Minutes and have a nice quiet evening. And then the next thing I know, it's 1 o'clock and I'm late going to bed and I got to get up early to be on the Today Show. So we all care about how things impact us. So that's kind of how it impacted me.
Yeah. No, that's you just had to throw everything up in the air, and that's what happens. I like the humor that's out there around this one. Tom was asked by Giselle to go to Whole Foods and Target, didn't want to do that. The kids were driving him crazy. I mean, there was some fun associated with something so seismic as this that I guess in this current era that we're in, levity was good.
I think, you know, I really think the bottom line in all this is that there's a lot of people in America who are just sick of Tom Brady. Yeah. And they've had enough. Not that he's not a good player, obviously, but that, you know, he sucks all the air out of the NFL room. And I think that those people were thrilled that he was retired or that he had retired. And, you know, those people who think that way, you know, if anybody can think any way they want, are naturally going to be unhappy at a time like this. My feeling, it's just kind of my gut feeling this about this.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, Tom Brady, this is not a complicated story. It's not a particularly complex story in terms of what exactly it means. Tom Brady basically thought, okay, I've had enough. My family needs me. I've put them second for long enough. And, you know, so I'm going to retire. And then, Brad, I think his family told them, his kids and Giselle Bundchen said, you know, hey, do what you want to do. Mm. We're going to be fine. We'll deal with whatever the outcome is. And I really think that's about it. You know, as Jim Gray, his podcast partner, told me last night, said, look, Tom Brady did not want to, you know, turn on the TV in the fall and look at these guys playing quarterback and say, I feel great. I love football, and it's kind of ridiculous that I'm not playing football right now. Mm-hmm. So I think he did this before he was kind of trumped, you know, by time when he wouldn't be able to come back, or at least wouldn't be able to come back conveniently.
Peter King with us, Football Morning in America. How does this impact the NFL of him coming back? Is it just as simple as, yeah, Tom's going to be there on Sunday, or you wrote a little bit or quite a bit on some of the ways this is going to go? Go a little deeper on that, the impact of Brady returning to the league.
I think the biggest factor about him returning is the real positive it is to the NFL in a couple of ways. You know, the Bucs have one of the best schedules in recent NFL history. And with Tom Brady, they've got, you know, I counted them up last night, not including the division games, but, you know, they've got a 17-game schedule. And, you know, not including the six division games, if you think about it, their schedule essentially has six or seven minimum games that are fantastic games and are, you know, national TV games. And I think the biggest factor, especially as it relates to the league, is he will make the league a lot of money because the ratings of Kyle Trask against Patrick Mahomes are going to be 20% less. And it's not going to be a national game, Kyle Trask against Patrick Mahomes. The ratings will be 20% less, and the game won't be as good. Add to that, Brad, that the Bucs will play the first ever NFL regular season game in Germany this year. They will play in November. So depending on which day it is, if Brady were not their quarterback, I feel pretty good that they would be under 500 going to Munich playing, I don't know, let's say the Bengals, let's say. And, you know, they might lose by 17 or 20 points in what wouldn't be a great game. So I'm just sort of making this point that if you talk about what Brady means to the league right now,
right,
means really good TV ratings and a lot more interest around the Bucs games. And they've got one of the best schedules in football.
Peter King, Football Morning in America. I want to shift from Brady to what's going on here in Arizona. I've wanted to have you on the last few weeks, knowing how busy you were with the combine. I just left you alone. And I wanted the Kyler Murray story to just kind of lay there for a minute. Peter, what is your big takeaway of what's going on out here between the Cardinals and Kyler Murray? Is this nothing more than what we typically see between a quarterback's agent and an organization, and eventually they'll all sing kumbaya and lock arms, or is there more to this from your view?
I think it's worrisome. And the reason I think it's worrisome is that the agent, Eric Burkhart, and Kyler Murray felt it necessary. The relationship with that team, that they felt it necessary to go out and shout from the rooftops that Kyle Murray needs a new contract. And I am sure that everybody in the Valley has very strong opinions about whether he should get one or whether he shouldn't. And I bet if I took a poll, it would be 60-40 against. You know,
I'd say 80-20. I'd say 80-20.
Yeah, or 80-20.
Yeah.
I guess my point would be this, that the Arizona Cardinals, despite the way last season finished, drafted Kyler Murray to be contenders again, and were a three-win team when Kyler Murray was drafted onto the team. And he's not been consistently great. One thing he has been is consistently exciting, and the Cardinals won 11 games last year. And I just think that unless, and this might be the case, but unless you're seriously thinking as an organization that you really might not want Kyler Murray to be your long-term guy, I probably would try to make some adjustment to the contract this year so that Kyler Murray, who gets beat up an awful lot and is a small guy, is not playing for $5.5 million this year. And a lot of people would say, hey, live by the contract, and I get it. And I am mostly a live by the contract guy. But I think in this particular case, you can't ignore the fact that there will be people who will be making seven, eight, nine times what Kyler Murray is making this year. And I bet deep down inside, if you ask the average Arizona Cardinals fan, pick a guy making an inordinately large amount of money. Let's take two of them, Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins. On opening day this year, who would you rather have your quarterback of this team, even though you might be ticked off at Kyler Murray? Both those guys are going to be making eight times what Kyler Murray is making this year or more. And I just think at some point you have to say, put yourself in Kyler Murray's shoes. You don't have a great offensive line. You're going to get really beat up. And I think I'd try to do something about this year's contract at the absolute minimum. Yeah, but, that's just my thought from afar. And look, at the end of the playoff game, I said, oh, my God, Kyler Murray has regressed. So I get everybody's emotion and I get what everybody is thinking, but that's what I think.
Yeah, and on that, I think it's the what's going to be around him, to your point, with free agency starting this week. They're going to lose Christian Kirk. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And DeAndre Hopkins being able to stay healthy, fix the offensive line. To Steve Keim's credit, he got Rodney Hudson last year. And so I'm going to shift over to free agency. You and I could talk about this now, and within an hour, it may be old news. But Chandler Jones, it sounds like the market for him is robust. Christian Kirk, I mentioned earlier, are you hearing anything on those two players from out here in your circles?
Well, here, I don't, Brad, I have not, I've not been on the phone with agents asking them who's making money in free agency. So I don't know what's going to happen to those guys. I do know that if I had a major need, I would much rather have Chandler Jones than Von Miller. Nothing against Von Miller, but he's 2 years older than Jones, and Jones in the last 3 or 4 years has been more consistently productive. Now, Jones has also been hurt a little bit. I get it. And so I don't know what's going to happen, but if I were the Cardinals, I'd really want to re-sign Chandler Jones. He's been a good player for your team, and it's hard to replace. If you lose in back-to-back years, Hassan Reddick and Chandler Jones, you've really got to ask yourself, what are we doing here?
Right.
And we've got to pay good players who produce. However, the one, you mentioned him a couple of minutes ago. I'm really fascinated by Kirk. By Christian Kirk. And in my opinion, I think he's a perfect fit for the New York Jets. Because he's young. He caught 77 balls last year. He's reliable. Never is near the league lead in drops. At some point, the guys who come up through your system, you got to sign them. You got to figure out a way to make them stay rather than watch them go out the door.
Yeah. And in Christian Kirk's case, it's a hometown kid too. Yeah. That's been here through his high school years that the fans have come to love and has played very, very well for them. Look, I'll let you go off that. I asked you an awful lot today. I appreciate your time as always, Peter. Thanks.
Hey, no problem, Brad. Good luck. And boy, I wish I was out there watching spring training with you.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get some games and, And you'll be out here next year with the Super Bowl and all that stuff. We'll have to get you out to the 16th hole the week of the Open, just so you can see something beyond amazing outside of football. Just for an hour, Peter. I think an hour for you. I'll come out.
All right. Hey, listen, take care, Brad. All the best to you.
See you, Peter. There's Peter King, and we're back with more after this timeout.